Kat Brooks. I'm the co-founder of the Anti-Police Care Project. I love you too. Little louder. Y'all can't hear me? Can you hear me now? I kind of lost my voice yesterday. So we're out here today for two reasons, right? One is to stand in solidarity with Charlottesville and the tragedy that took place there. The second is because we know that these neo-Nazis, these alt-right folks, are on their way to Berkeley and San Francisco on the 26th and 27th. And opposed to waiting to those days to come out in droves and tell them they are not welcome here, we figured we'd start now. We do not cower to police. And these are our streets. White supremacy comes in many forms. It sits in City Hall with our elected officials. It lives down the street in the Oakland Police Department. It sure as hell exists in Washington with that orange dude. And he has emboldened these groups, right? He has emboldened them. He has provided them an opening with which to be brutally blatant about their plans for this country. And their plans for this country do not include black people, or brown people, or indigenous people, or LGBTQ people, right? It doesn't poor people. Well, if you're poor and white, they may have some use for you, because that's where they're recruiting. Poor young white kids, right? That's where they go to build their race. But they will not build here. I'm telling you, I was walking there, I was down that way, on Broadway, like 2 weeks ago. And I saw something I've never seen before in the Bay Area. Maybe in San Francisco, but not in Oakland. Not walking bravely down the streets of Oakland. And that was two skinheads with the laces and the cobwebs and the tats, the whole thing. And they stopped, and I stopped, and he stared at me, and I stared at him. Motherfucker, you don't scare me, right? We're here today to say no to hate. The first speaker I want to bring up is my comrade, my friend, my brother, a serious freedom fighter, someone I'm proud to stand in the struggle with. Y'all give it up for Ben McBride. When you want to talk about carrying on the revolutionary spirit of pastors like Dr. King, this brother right here is fire.
Somebody shout, tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Somebody say, tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Somebody say, tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Somebody say, tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
So here's the reality. This country is founded on a lie. All of us that have grown up in this false education in the United States of America has been founded on a lie. And I'm so sick and tired. I've been watching the news the last few days. And people keep talking about all these great Americans that this country is founded on. Talking about Thomas Jefferson, who owned slaves. Talking about George Washington, who owned slaves. What we are dealing with right now is the legacy of this country. It is a legacy of a country that has built itself upon the plunder and the destruction of black bodies and native bodies, and it's time for us to start telling the truth. So we're here in solidarity with all of us to realize that, as Sister Kat was saying, it's time for us to go to work. Because these cowards, KKK suckers with tiki torches in Charlottesville need to recognize that if they're going to come to the Bay Area, somehow with a plan of fear, we need to let them know that not only are we ready, but we're prepared to do whatever needs to be done to keep our community safe. Quickly, the only thing I just want to say is that all of us have a role, but our roles are going to be different. But we need to recognize that this is a very serious time. Just as Kat was saying, it's not just these Nazis, KKK cats that we have to think about, but we also need to think about the way that white supremacy lives in the Oakland Police Department down at the corner of 7th and Broadway. We need to think about the way that white supremacy lives down there at City Hall, up in the mayor's office. We need to think about how white supremacy is functioning all throughout this Alameda County. And I'm telling you right now, I'm so sick and tired of having prayer vigils. I'm sick and tired of people saying, let's hold hands. I'm sick and tired of people not wanting to do what needs to be done. So we're going to say this. Let's all find our role in this movement. I wish somebody would tell me that somehow it is not spiritual or sacred to defend my family, to defend my loved ones, to defend those who mean value to me. So I want all of us to make sure in the days that lie ahead that you prepare yourself to find your role and do what needs to be done. And lastly, what I want to say to all of our white allies and sisters and brothers out here, if you're down with people of color, then we want to see you on the front lines resisting these white Nazis and KKK folks that want to bring a threat against black and brown and native people. It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to tweet it. It's one thing to put it on Facebook. Excuse my language. But when the shit hits the fan, we got to be ready to lay down our lives for one another, because all of us matter. And whether that means going to jail or whether that means putting yourself in between someone who is facing a threat, let's get ready in our mind, get ready in your heart, because we all belong to one another. I'm with you, one people, one fight. Let's stand here for one another until we get the victory.
I'll give it up one more time for Pastor Ben. We don't have a lot of planned speakers for this rally. We've got a couple, and the last speaker we have is going to be Brother Terha Ock. That's going to help us think about what we need to do to move from talking to doing, right? Talking to doing. Say it. Talking to doing. Talking to doing. They are coming. We have to have a plan, right? We can't wait till they get here. We have to have a plan for how we're going to mobilize our community to resist hate. And so that's what we're going to give you by the end of the rally. And then we're going to open it up specifically to people of color and LGBTQ folks if they would like to say a few words. But our next planned speaker right now is Jeremy Miller with APTP and the Idris Stelly Foundation.
It's my honor to stand here with all of y'all, stand here with my comrades and partners in the struggle up here. And it's something that we had to do. We don't have a choice in this matter. This white supremacy thing, as Kat pointed out, as Ben pointed out, this is the legacy of America, and this is a legacy that we face every single day. And every once in a while, it pops off extremely violent, like out in Charlottesville. And all the cameras pay attention to it. But the fact of the matter is that these angry, disturbed men and women that conduct acts of terror, and let's be very clear, that is exactly what it is, an act of terror like this, are emboldened by all the less spectacular acts of terror against our communities that occur daily, weekly, monthly, and annually. This shirt that I'm wearing, it says, Oakland police killed 1,000 Trayvons.
Yes.
Every time people stand by and watch a black or brown brother, sister, person killed by white supremacist law enforcement, and think, oh well, that emboldens these white power people, these neo-Nazis. Every time that a city planning commission meets and says, oh, we can just get rid of that black neighborhood, we're going to build a new business district, that emboldens these white power extremists, and those people are white power extremists too, and they are killing our communities as well. There is no separation. So I'll close with this. If it is your intention to stand against the brutal, ignoble legacy of this country and its racism, it must be fought, no holds bar, in all quarters. Starting from the home, if you have people in your family that harbor these views, it's time to challenge them in a real way. To your office or your workplace, I deal with racists every single day at work, it's time to challenge them there. To City Hall, these meetings, even if they drive you crazy, if they take hours that you got to sit through, you got to be there and tell them that our neighborhoods aren't going anywhere, because that's the truth. We ain't going nowhere. And we need to get these genocidal paramilitary sons of bitches that call themselves the police off of our back for once and all. Thank you for being here today.
So if you look around the crowd, you can see these folks with green hats on. Y'all know who that is? Y'all know who that is? Let's make some noise if you know who those green hats belong to. Those green hats belong to the National Lawyers Guild. National Lawyers Guild trains people to be out here and supporting us when we take these streets. The National Lawyers Guild us the number we write on our arms before we march, and volunteers sit and take our calls when the pigs lock us up. The National Lawyers Guild takes the cases pro bono when we get arrested, and for 80 years has been standing up for the people's right to resist. We love the guild. Right now I want to bring up one of the fiercest members of the guild who recently traveled to Kentucky to support resistance there. When the fascists took the streets there. Y'all give it up for Carrie, please.
All right, thanks for being here today. I want to say I'm used to being in the green hat, watching the cops. Some of us, are comfortable in being support and emboldening others to stand up. Other times, you know what? We all need to stand up. We all need to have eyes in our head and say, no, it's not okay what's happening in this country. In Kentucky, in the last weekend of April, there was a nationalist front meetup calling all white supremacists to come join together and march in the streets of Pikeville, Kentucky, which is a small town. A lot of old coal mining jobs went away. There's a lot of suffering with white folks there. They thought they could march into town there and really promote their agenda for white folks. So we got a call here in the Bay because the National Lawyers Guild chapter there, they didn't have legal observers to go march out there. So they asked for help from us. since we've been experiencing that here in our community. And that's what solidarity also looks like. And so I flew out to help form a team, and we monitored the police. But I've never seen anything like what I saw on the streets of Pikeville, Kentucky. And a lot of those same folks that arrived in a 30-car caravan with police escorts, marched in with rifles because it's an open carry state, just like in Charlottesville. Those folks came and they plugged their sound system into the county courthouse. The state gave them power to have their free speech. They were outnumbered by maybe 20 counter-protesters. And we stood there in a tense standoff, and yeah, everyone had their First Amendment rights. And the locals came out and they were appalled. It's time to say no. You don't get to have space in a town to promote an agenda of white supremacy. Yeah. We need to connect the dots when we see these things happening. It's on a rise, my friends. It's on a rise. From the streets of Kentucky to Berkeley, California, to Sacramento, California, to Charlottesville. Some of the same people that we see in each crowd of these white supremacists, and I'll just say it, fascists. Yeah. They are not all right. They're fascists. We have to name it as such. We have to see them. We have to track that they are traveling between communities. Sometimes with torches at night. Right? They've taken their hoods up. We get to name them. We get to say, no, you don't get to come into this community and spew your hate. So can you please join me on the 26th and 27th in the streets of Berkeley and in San Francisco to say, no, you are not welcome in our community. Please, join us. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Carrie. Sister Gina Madrid, are you out there? Sister Gina Madrid, are you out there? She was supposed to come bless us with her fire. I saw her a minute ago. Here she come, here she come, here she come. Artist, activist, freedom fighter, badass mama. Y'all give it up for Gina Madrid.
Well, I'm not prepared, but you know who is prepared right now?
Do you all know happened? That do you all knew that this shit happened in Berkeley about a month ago? There was police presence who was doing shit for the people while they were getting actually beat up. This shit that just happened, all these nationalists, all these fucking white supremacists saying what? They want their land back? A land that was never theirs in the first place? They want their country back? A country that was never theirs in the first place? This is a stolen land. This is native land. This is our land, not their fucking land. And we are here together for the same reason that we come together every time that we're marching. We're marching for our lives. We're marching for freedom. We're marching for our freedom. We're here together because this is all we have. We just have each other. And we have to stick together so we can actually get what we want. We want freedom. We want all of us to be treated equally. We want the same respect that white people get. Yeah, that's what we want. I see a lot of your white folks. Thank you all for being here because we need you. We need you present. Every time that something goes down like that, every time that one of our people get killed by police, every time that our people are murdered, and all the people that's incarcerated, many of them are black and brown people being enslaved. We don't want that. We want change. I wrote this piece for cops, for the police, probably like about 3 months ago, and I would like to share with you. And this goes to all of y'all white supremacists as well. Is the color of our skin what makes your blood boil? Is the color of our skin, what makes you pull the trigger, is because the way we are, the way we look, the way you treat us. You take 1, 2, 3 lives and get promoted as a killer. Your bloody batch is gonna go. Your uniform is gonna burn. You motherfuckers gonna feel the rain. You're gonna feel the pain till you swallow your hate. Because we won't stop. This is the power of the people, and we won't stop. This is the power of the people, and we won't stop. No, we won't stop. No, we won't stop. It is our duty to fight for our freedom. Say it. It is our duty to fight for our freedom. It is our duty to fight for our freedom. Everybody.
It is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty.
It is our duty.
It is our duty. We only have each other, guys. Please, let's hold it down for each other. Much love. Thank you. No hate. No hate.
No hate.
No hate.
No hate.
No hate.
No hate.
No hate.
No hate.
No hate.
No hate.
No hate.
No hate.
No hate.
No hate.
No hate. All right. All right. Say it like you mean it. So our last planned speaker before we open it up, remember I said the people of color and LGBTQ folks first, right? Our last planned speaker is my brother, my comrade, co-founder of the Anti-Police Terror Project, defender of all of us, protector of all of us, Brother Terha Ak. Show him some love. Show him some serious love. He's been spending the mass majority of his time strategizing on how we keep ourselves safe, strategizing on how we move from talking and doing, putting his years and years of experience in self-defense and training and organizing into building a plan of action for us to keep these motherfuckers out of our cities and our towns and keep us safe while doing it. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother Terha now.
Right on. So everybody say it with me. Say, don't fear the storm, be the storm.
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 This is something that came out of our actions when Trump first was selected and put into office, right? Y'all, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
All right. And this, I wrote a bunch of stuff down, right? Because I usually don't do that. I usually just get up here and go off the head. But I thought it was some key things that were important to say. One, that this pain is an old pain. This is not new. And a lot of people are up in arms because they feel like their privilege is in jeopardy, right? But we've been facing this forever. This is the same pain that we've been experiencing since slave ships touched down in Africa, since colonizers touched down here. And that's important to acknowledge. So we're clear on what we're dealing with. We say America has two modes. Smooth and soothe, smash and grab. Smooth and soothe, smash and grab. But it all ends up at the same place. Repression and oppression of our black ass, right? That's important. The smooth and soothe is designed to pacify and quiet dissent. It's designed to pacify and quiet dissent. Because a predatory state apparatus, that's what this is, will always breed dissent because it has to be built on the backs of labor and pain of the people. So there's always dissent. So they have different modes to get you to invest and collaborate with your oppression. And that's the smooth and soothe. But when the smooth and soothe doesn't work, you know what they come with? The smash and grab. And the smash and grab is designed to crush and destroy dissent. That's the phase we're in right now. Donald Trump is an agent of the smash and grab. It's important. When Trump got into office, there were some key things that took place. And we saw this progression happening while he was on the campaign trail. These are the same forces that were providing security during the rallies. These are the same forces that were assaulting black women in these rallies. The same forces that Donald Trump said, get them out of here. Hit them again. Because see, the case I want to state is that these forces are surrogates of the state. That's important. I'm not going to let it be framed in some isolated manner because we'll miss the big picture. And there's a debate about whether this is fascism, right? And there's some folks who believe that, some folks who don't. But what is real is there's some fascism-like tendencies happening. And one of the things that happens under fascism, they use paramilitary forces to crush dissenters. That's what's happening. Be clear on that. When he got into office, he took them off the terrorist watch list. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He took them off of the watch list. Why is that important? That's a sure indicator that the objective was to give them cover and unleash them on our asses. So he's using them as shock troops to get us in line. We have to acknowledge that under what was called the Black Lives Matter period, right? Folks stood up and adequately challenged policing agencies and the state dynamics that are used to repress us. So because of that, they needed a new force to come in and do the same job. All y'all say black bag operations for me. Say black bag operations.
Black bag operations.
That's off the books, assassinations. That's off the books, curtailing of dissent. His response to Charlottesville was that there's been violence from many, many sides. Now let's call that shit for what it is, right? We all on one accord. I don't even have to explain or go into detail the levels of historic violence that these very same forces have perpetrated for centuries. For centuries. I had somebody tell me that if we did a proper analysis of what happened to folks during these different periods when white supremacist organizations, slave owners, and the like were perpetrating violence, it would be a horror movie unlike anything you've ever seen. Because the movies, the books, and the stories that are told don't even begin to get into the levels of heinous violence that these people have perpetrated. So it tells you everything about what's happening with the current administration in this smash and grab phase. That there's a attempt to create a fallacious parallel between the people who have stood in defense in opposition to this. There's a paper, The Daily Stormer, Who all is familiar with the Daily Stormer? For everybody who doesn't know what the Daily Stormer is, the Daily Stormer is the publication, it's a white supremacist publication that Dylann Roof credited as his primary inspiration when he went into the church and massacred black people. He said that this was the paper that inspired him to take the acts that he took. Y'all know what the headline of the Daily Stormer's paper was today? The headline of the Daily Stormer was Heather Heyer, I think that's her name, Heather Heyer, who was killed by the car that mowed into nonviolent, peaceful dissenters. They called her, I want to read it so I get it right. The headline said, Heather Heyer, the woman who was killed in a road rage incident, was a fat, childless, 32-year-old slut. That's what the paper said, right? These are not people you can negotiate with. These are not people you can pray for. These are people with a very well thought out agenda to suppress every one of us across every line. They ain't even got to name them all. You name it, they own it. Right? So what does that mean for us? That means solidarity is our only option. Because this is not some isolated phenomenon. This is state motivated. This is the flip side to policing. Where they can't repress us, they'll allow these folks to repress us. Be clear on that. So solidarity is our only option. We've been talking about proper rapid response methods, proper defense methods. Our next APTP meeting is this Wednesday, right? This Wednesday. We're going to be talking in detail about our rapid response or self-defense response model. So Community Ready Corps and APTP is developing a community rapid response self-defense model. And we have identified that it must contain a few critical aspects. One is digital security. But information gathering, we need to know who these folks are, where they exist, where they meet, where they sleep, what hotels they live in when they come to town, what restaurants they eat at. And we should give no peace to anybody who gives them refuge. No peace to anybody who makes it safe for them to come here, who gives them welcome here. Because the greatest defense we have is each other. The greatest defense we have is the people. And if the masses of us stand up against it, they have nowhere to go. We outnumber them. Y'all know that, right? We got to start acting like it, though. Their rally yesterday was in Charlottesville was called what? Unify the right. That's what's happening. They are unifying across tendencies, across ideological strands to subjugate us. I want everybody out here to give the Berkeley City government hell. I want y'all to give Jesse hell. give the San Francisco government hell for allowing these folks in their cities. If I, as a black man, held one party in Berkeley, and there was one fight in Berkeley, one fight, I couldn't get a goddamn permit to drink a cup of water in Berkeley. There are police at the border. Watch him, right? We know that. I'm exaggerating, but the fact of the matter is, if you're a club or party promoter and you have one fight, you ain't getting another permit to come into Berkeley. So how is it that Berkeley has hosted these folks on numerous occasions? How is that? That's the question that we have to ask. Because you know that's not a unique phenomenon with Berkeley. Everywhere this is happening, they are directly associated with police departments.
That's right. Yep.
City agencies, off-duty police officers are at the rallies. The police officers have protected them. And in some places, you can watch the power cords to the sound system go right into City Hall. How is that? So we have to not let our elected officials get away with it. I saw some of the Oakland elected officials talking about they stand in solidarity with Charlottesville. These same folks have been coming here for months. Sacramento, Berkeley, ain't heard a word out of these folks. Ain't heard a word out of them. They, as elected officials, can pick up the goddamn phone and call Berkeley and say, shut that shit down. So it's time to press this Oakland City government, Berkeley City government, California, and ask them, how are y'all allowing this to happen? Why are y'all complicit with it? So I want to see y'all Wednesday night at the APTP meeting at Eastside Arts Alliance. What's the address over there? What is it? 2277 International. Right? Because we're going to talk about this rapid response model in detail. It's at 7 o'clock.
7:30.
7:30? Thank you. Thank you. Y'all, I'm tired. I've been working. So, right. 7:30 at Eastside Arts Alliance Wednesday night. Come so we can have some conversation about what it means to do something. This rapid response model that we're talking about is not owned by anybody. You can build one yourself. You can build one yourself. Digital is one aspect of it. Self-defense is one aspect of it. But media propagandizing our position because they are outmaneuvering us. A lot of us fail for the free speech argument.
That's right.
A bunch of us out here bought into the free speech narrative. And shame on y'all if y'all did. Shame on y'all if y'all did. Because that's not what this is about. They're using free speech as a cover. They're using free speech as a cover to come in and set up for what happened in Charlottesville. Yesterday, that wasn't folks punching them in the face. That was proactive violence on their part. And I commend the folks who are standing up against them. Ask the Berkeley City government why they're criminalizing those folks who stood up against it. Why their houses are getting raided. Why they're facing jail time. That's a phenomenon across the nation, though. The folks who are standing up against this are facing massive amounts of jail time. When the right forces, are getting a free pass for the most part. Their houses ain't being raided. Their paraphernalia is not being collected. They're not being criminalized. So we stand in solidarity with our folks who are standing up against this, right?
Yes!
I'm going to end it with this. We say if they touch any, they got to deal with the many. Say it with me. If they touch any, they got to deal with the many. If they touch any, they got to deal with the many. If they touch any, they got to deal with the many. Make it a reality, not just a mantra.
That's why I fucks with him. Building a little bit off of that, elected officials both at the city and the state level have been talking about this concept of sanctuary cities, right? That we're going to provide sanctuary for our immigrants and our Muslim folks. And that matters. That's important. Solidarity means sanctuary for all of us, right? Sanctuary means protection from these rogue-ass police officers. And sanctuary means protection from ICE. And sanctuary means that our state and local elected officials have to say no Nazis in our town because it's not safe for our community members. So the next time you hear Libby or Jesse or any one of them talk about they want to build a sanctuary city, you push them on what that means. You push them on what that means. Fuck your free speech, we want sanctuary. Because what the news does not report, right, what the news has not reported is that every time they let those hate-filled bastards into Berkeley, at night after the rallies were over, a lesbian couple was attacked. Black people were attacked. Muslim people were attacked. Businesses that had Black Lives Matter in the windows had their windows broken. So their free speech led directly to violence impacted on our most marginalized community. Fuck your free speech. I want sanctuary. They're coming back, y'all. They're coming back the 26th and the 27th. We got to be ready. We hope to see you Wednesday night. So you can take that model and build it in your neighborhood, on your block, in your community, right? To push back in some real ways. So now what I want to do is I want to invite all the people of color that have something to say, because so often our voices are silenced, right? So often we don't have space to talk about our trauma or incite our own calls to action. So I want to invite people of color who have something to say, who want some space to speak, to come up. 2 minutes. And we mean it. 2 minutes. Say it with me. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. All right. 2 minutes.
Come on, Tanya.
That's hilarious.
Good afternoon. I'm Tanya with the Coalition to Defend Affirmative Action, Integration, Immigrant Rights, Fight for Equality by Any Means Necessary. And it's good to see everybody out here saying that we're not going to be silenced by Nazis and racist violence. I want to make sure that everybody spreads the word to everybody you can about coming out to stop the neo-Nazis and the fascists on the 26th of August and the 27th in San Francisco and Berkeley. We got to stop them because we will not be stabbed. We're going to stand up for Sanctuary City. We're going to stand up for the right of lesbian gay couples to walk the streets, of young people to wear a hijab or to wear whatever they want, and to have black or brown skin and to walk these streets safe. That is what sanctuary is. Secondly, we got to use this opportunity of everybody that's outraged by the violent murders in Charlottesville, that stands with the brave people who have stood up against racism there. We got to say, we have known this is what Trump is doing. All Trump has is racism and anti-immigrant hysteria. But it is true, we got the majority, and we can get him out. Donald Trump must go, and he must go now. He should have been impeached already. We got to keep building these demonstrations until we win, because we have the majority. People of all races fighting racism, standing up for immigrant rights. People know there's a demonstration at noon tomorrow at Highland Hospital against deportations. Everybody should come out there. Last thing, drop the charges against the anti-fascist demonstrators from a year ago in Sacramento. I have some flyers here. You can talk to me afterwards. Yvette Falarca, Michael Williams, Porfirio Paz, three anti-fascist demonstrators from over a year who were stabbed and assaulted by Nazis up there and stood proudly to try to protect Sacramento against their attacks. They are now facing felony charges. They got another court date October 4th. We got to get everybody out there like we did the other day to pack that courtroom and say we will not let people be targeted for standing up against racism. Also, we want people to call the DA now and say, drop these charges. We will not be silenced by Nazi violence. We're going to build this movement. Trump must go. Immigrants, yes. Nazis, no. The Bay Area is going to stand up and fight. I see all your beautiful faces. Let's get everybody to know we are the majority. They are trying to instill fear, but we are the majority. We're not going to take their racist crap. Thank you.
Folks, I want to speak to this lineup here.
Hello, everybody. My name is Nancy Cotto. I'm the daughter of parents and grandparents who were interned in the concentration camps during World War II. Even though I wasn't in the camps because I wasn't born yet, that legacy has permeated my lives and the lives of hundreds of thousands of other Japanese Americans as well as the rest of society. Where we understand that when the government comes after a group of people and tries to demonize them and to say they're the enemy, we know that's wrong. What the fascists are trying to do is demonize all of us, really, in terms of saying, blaming, scapegoating immigrants, Muslims, Arabs, trans, queers, women, people of color, Jews, pretty much everybody in the working class being represented. So it is so important. I echo what people are saying in terms of we need to come out. When somebody comes to your house who's a fascist, what do you do? You have to stand up and fight back. There's no other choice. I want to invite people. There's going to be, I belong to the Communities Against Racism and Fascism. We're holding a counter demonstration that's going to be militant, disciplined. We need to have all of you there to come out and stand up to the fascists. So I have these leaflets, and thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
You know, you gotta ask yourself.
Talk louder.
At a certain point in time, why are they mad in the first place? How come it gets to a bottleneck pressure where they gotta protest and they feel like their voices are drowned? That means that the people gotta be doing something right.
They can't hear you.
And in a time where people are waking up, people are understanding that it's about group economics, people are being popularizing consciousness. See, I was happy when Trump became president. Because when you got a black Muslim man like myself who grow up with self-knowledge and things of that nature, who know about the world, who know about the systematic evils, and who know about how this world is going to be divisive and try to break you down and all of these different oppressions, I said, you know what? When the devil takes off his mask, in order for the people around him to not look like devils, they want to stand closer to God. And that means that they want to get closer to the side of righteousness. So that means they're going to start supporting me. They say, you know what? I support you, young black Muslim, because I see how he's trying to villainize you. I see how he's trying to victimize you and make you the sucker, make you the devil. But then you have to look, because this ain't about now. This is about the next 10, 20 years. So a protest is fine, but organizations fear organization. You know what I mean? So when people get together and they say, you know what? Every time they do some dumb shit, we gonna support black business. That's the fear. Fear chokes you. You know what I'm saying? When they see you, when they see the first dream that mattered in this country was the black dream. Why? Because when we was in slavery, the first dream we wanted was freedom. What comes with freedom? Justice and equality. And until we have freedom, justice, and equality, we can't be one big happy family. I walked inside this store, and it was a nice white lady, and she said, why can't we just get along? How come we can't just have love? Why are we not just a family? And I say, you know, friends and family are people who invest into you. Family is an action word. So when we look at that black people have 0% of wealth in this country, that means that y'all not investing into y'all so-called family. So that means that we don't own this country. So that means that, to be honest, if he tear this whole goddamn thing, we don't lose nothing. But in order to change that, in order to reverse that agenda, then you have to support, you have to invest into those so that we have more power. If the people that stand up for you, the people like the brother that just spoke, if he had $1 million in his bank account, he'd be able to do more organizing. He'd be able to fly out 100, 200 brothers to where they can go down there and they can organize and they can really make things happen. But it's hard to do things when you're poor unless you have complete unity. And given that this is Oakland, the fact that I don't see enough young black people, that disheartens me. But at the same time, you can't choose your recruits. So I'm thankful to see the people that's out here that's ready to stand on the forefront of activities and demonstrate themselves to be on the side that's next to God and righteousness. But y'all can't walk past these businesses because economics is warfare. And unless we got a piece of this pie, we ain't gonna never have nothing at the table ever. And we gonna never give a fuck about American politics. And I'm gonna end this because I don't like talking too much unless it really has an actionable change. I don't like doing things for ego and vanity. I don't like doing things just for a press release or a picture. Because this has to resonate in the minds of the people when you go home and you think about this and you realize what type of person you are. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he came out, he had the most controversial statement ever. He said, white people are devils. And they said, ooh, why would you say that? That's racist. And he explained, he said, a devil is one who devalues. And so he said, if you look at the history of this country, y'all have been devaluing us of our name, our culture, our pride, our self-respect, our love for one another. So that means that you a devil. And Martin Luther King said that, I fear that we're going to get integration, but it's going to be at a hefty cost. And I fear that we're going to integrate in a burning house. But you see, diversity starts in the mind. It's not just about the color of the person. So during slavery, there was white people who helped. Those are some good white folks, right? But then what happens during integration? The so-called good ones integrate with the bad ones. And that creates that mixture for that burning house. So as you got your evil white friends, you know what I'm saying? And that goes for black people too, because the greatest threat to black people is nigga life. You know, until you step on the side of righteousness, we don't have a future. We have a present circumstances that can be determined upon the activities and the circumference of what we do. But when it comes to separation, you have to separate yourself from those who don't have the same nature and understanding as you. And that's the only way you can provide acceptance. The last thing I want everybody to say is black dreams matter. No, we gonna do this on three, people. Calm, relax. One, two, three. Black dreams matter.
I'm sorry.
Assalamu alaikum, people. How y'all doing?
Alaikum salam.
Peace and blessings to the family. I just want to say a few things real quick. This is nothing new in this country. Violence upon black people. Hating stereotypical violence and putting people in a corner and marginalizing them has always been a part of United States history. Neo-Nazism has always been a part of United States history.
That's right.
And thank you, Donald Trump, for pulling that mask off, like the brother said, and revealing these people who have tried to hide in the era of the Obama presidency under the guise of colorblindness. Now, we need to take that mask off and see who these people actually are. And they really reported themselves, and I'm thankful for that. However, it is upon ourselves to make a move and organize into a positive light, and organize into doing something that is going to propel us and stabilize us economically, emotionally, and physically. We have many types of programs out here, but we need to start at a grassroots level and have these particular conversations with one another and to educate each other in what's going on in these social issues today. We don't have time to be reactionary. We need to be proactive in our politics. We don't need to sit here and be reacting to these neo-Nazis every time they show their face. We know they out there. It's time for us to take it upon ourselves and move in a positive direction. Have these conversations with your family members. We don't have time to play the politically correct role. That's over with. That's done. If you see some racist shit going on right now, you need to call that out. Straight up. If you see your people, there's a lot of white faces out here, so if you see your people out here, you need to pull their coattails or bust them in their mouth or something. We don't have time for this no more. It's time to take action. It's time to do. The time is now. We can't wait for another black leader. We can't wait for another head of state or a politician to speak for us. This is in our hearts. We know the difference from right from wrong. It is upon us, to make a move and a step in the right direction. We don't have time to wait no more. Like the brother said, economics is key. You can't fight a war without economics. You can't shoot your way out because they have more bullets, they have more guns. So we need to win this battle with our minds. We need to win this battle with our pocketbooks, and we need to win this battle within ourselves and our own community first. Oakland has been strategically a Black Panther and revolutionary city out here in the Bay Area. Real quick, let's just clap it up for Oakland real quick. This is Oakland, baby. This is the home of the revolution. This is the home of the Panther. It is time for us to take action within ourselves. I know not everybody out here has the warrior and fighting spirit, so we need to be able to fight financially. We need to be able to fight with our... We need to fight, be able to fight with what we have right now. Right now, I'm sure everybody has a few dollars in their pockets. You need to go ahead and give that to the homeless, provide food, shelter, give that away. We can all do without for a little bit. We also need to establish and basically we need funding for ourselves and for our community. It's time to shop black. It's time to shop with our buddies, with our black brothers and sisters out here that's working and pushing a program for excellence for our future generations. We don't have time to waste. For the warrior spirited, it is time to organize and gain access to each other in a warrior vibe. It's time for us to start training. We don't have time to waste. We need to start getting ourselves together. I have a few more things to say, but I don't know if this is the right time yet.
Now, if you got to ask the question, this ain't the space nor the place.
Brothers and sisters, we do have a shop right around the corner. I am going to put a shameless plug in. A young black shop. We've been open for over a year now. And the majority of us have a few dollars to spend. We right around the corner on 16th and Telegraph, 1624. The shop is called Suru. The brand is called Musa Hill. Please do your best to come and patronize with us. Patronize with your black brothers and sisters. Go down there to the Mandela Parkway and shop with the Mandela Foods. There's a few different few different businesses out here. Use our business, use our money to shop black. Perpetuate the warfare into a financial financial stance. We need economic help. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Y'all give it up for young black men. Now you gotta do better than that for young black men. Which is why I wasn't as stringent about the 2 minutes. But I'm gonna be now. We're going to bring up just a couple more speakers, and then I know there are other events happening tonight. There's another act. I'm not endorsing them. I don't know. I just know that there's something happening at 5 at 14th and Broadway, and then there's a vigil here tonight at 7 o'clock if you want to continue to stick around. It was brought to my attention that people aren't clear what we mean by they're coming back, so I wanted to give some more specifics. And you can find it on Facebook, of course. So on August 26th, they're going to be at Chrissy Fields in San Francisco. Just let that sink in for a minute. On August 26th, they'll be at Chrissy Fields in San Francisco. And on August 27th, they will be in the park across the street from Berkeley High. On August 27th, they will be in the park across the street from the high school. Right? So you've heard a couple of people talk about resistance actions. Another organization planning some resistance, particularly for you white allies, is Surge, the local chapter of Surge, showing up for racial justice. They will also be holding an action, and so if you want to plug in, you can plug in there as well. So a couple more speakers, and then we're going to shut this down. We thought about marching, but there's not really enough of us for all of that. So we'll just funnel folks into the other events. And then remind you that Wednesday at 7:30 at Eastside Arts Alliance, we'll be training folks in the rapid response community self-defense model. Okay, I'm going to bring up this sister here.
Thank you for everyone that's here. My name is Valeria, and I want to just give a shout out to people that have been talking about hate here, that we do have to respond to hate. This is not something new. This is something that many people have said is a systemic problem. It's an economic fight that we have to respond to. And I think that our power lies on the fact that every day people like you and me have to work to survive in this system. We have to work to feed each other. So we have to start going to our communities where we're already at, to where we work. And it's our responsibility to take, to respond to this hate by talking about this injustice and understanding that the injustice is really due to the fact that we are all oppressed by this capitalist system. And so the change has to happen. And I think in response to the oppression has to happen in the oppression that we face every single day. So an oppression in our workplaces, an oppression in our communities, and we have to be able to respond to that in an organized fashion. So that means being able to talk about this, not just in this space out here, but where we ride the buses, where to our, the fact that the oppression is a daily occurrence and not just something that happens and we respond and we're reactive. So I think if you're not already linked to a group, you should go and find people that are linked to a group and talking about oppression and how to really respond to it in an organized fashion, because I think that demonstrations like this are important, but they can't end right here and only right here, and they can't just you do a call out for something that's happened on the 27th, because something like this is going to happen again, and organizing to do something about it is important, and we need to make the society that we want to build and talk about not just what we are upset about, but really talk about what is a society that we want to see and make that happen. So thank you all for your ears.
Okay, unless I see folks lining up, Kyle McCoy will be our last speaker for the evening.
Uncle Bobby is not able to be with us today as he's preparing a written statement for the BART board meeting tomorrow at 4 p.m. The BART board meeting is going to be voting tomorrow to have 40 more BART officers hired to be on every single train? Or giving that money to Community Insights so we can see the video footage and all of the cameras footage for on the BART system. I think that should be the community more access, because I don't trust this system. And also, I don't trust this District 3 council member either. I say that we still need to be fighting for our cities, for our safety, and for our community. All power to the people. Yes. I want to thank everybody for coming out today. I want to thank you for coming out. If you were here yesterday, coming out 2 days in a row. For spending your weekend saying no to hate. No hate? In the bank. Come on, y'all. This is the third time. Come on, man. But y'all, we professional champions of this month. Right? In the bank. No hate?
In the bank.
No hate?
In the bank.
No hate?
In the bank.
No hate?
In the bank.
No hate?
In the bank.
No hate?
In the bank.
No hate?
In the bank.
No hate?
In the bank.
Do you mean it?
Yeah.
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 All right. So show up Wednesday night, 7:30 at Eastside Arts Alliance to learn this model and build one. Show up on the 26th and 27th to chase them fuckers out of here. Woo! Interrupt racism and hate when you see it. And I don't think I've ever ended a rally this way. I'm usually too goddamn mad. But I will say, and love each other. And love each other. We need it right now. We are in trauma, serious trauma, right? Particularly people of color, but all of us. Love each other. Power to the people. Thank you, everybody. Get home safe, huh?